It's Marketplace Tech for Tuesday, January 24th. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for Ben Johnson. President Trump has long promised to build a wall along the U.S. border with Mexico. That conjures up the image of a big concrete block. Currently, there are both low and high-tech barriers at the border. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams is there in Nogales, Mexico, looking at how tech is used. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Lizzie.
You are on the border right now on the Mexican side. What kind of technology can you see from where you are?
About 50 feet away from me, there's this really tall tower on the U.S. side, loaded with sensors and cameras. So this kind of technology isn't just to deter illegal immigration, but also the drug cartels, which really hold a lot of sway in areas like this. Rodrigo Nieto Gomez is a research professor at the Naval Postgraduate School. He studies the use of tech by criminal organizations. And I was asking him about things like drones on the border. The U.S. certainly uses them, but there are rumors that the cartels do too.
Drones are being used for surveillance purposes by the cartels. They're calling them either silent mules, or they give them other names to try to identify positions by border patrol agents and therefore inform smugglers of those positions to allow for the traffic of drugs through the desert.
Well, how has technology changed the way that things and people move across the border?
So in terms of things like legal border crossings, you'll see scanners the size of trucks that you can go through to check your cargoes to make sure you're not carrying anything you're not supposed to. And for Mexicans who regularly cross back and forth across the border, they can get a border crossing card that lets them go a certain distance into the U.S. And then when you drive up to the border crossing, there's a camera that'll just snap a picture of it when you stick it out the window. The other way that tech has changed this region is in the behavior of those smuggling drugs and people across the border. I actually interviewed a local leader of the Sinaloa cartel who told me that a massive portion of his product, as he called it, is lost due to the tech on the border. Now, for obvious reasons, he didn't give his real name, but he said we could call him Edward.
There's more cooperation between the American and Mexican military. They have more technology like drones. They follow us and can detect us. They have airborne heat sensing technology. They can find us quickly and come for us on horses or ATVs.
That loss of product, he said, is making the cartel keep and sell more drugs in Mexico. Now, I asked him specifically about President Trump's plan to build a border wall, and he wasn't really worried about it. He was much more worried about the technology on the border. He said if the Americans build a 20-foot-high wall, the cartels will either build a 21-foot-high ladder or just tunnel underneath it.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lizzie.
Kimberly's work on the border is supported by the International Women's Media Foundation's Adelante Reporting Initiative. Edward Majerzyk is being sentenced today in federal court in Chicago for violating the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. You'll remember him as the guy who hacked the email accounts of dozens of celebrities. He obtained, among other things, nude photos of actress Jennifer Lawrence and model Kate Upton. The photos were eventually posted on the message boards 4chan and Reddit. That incident and others like it are part of a larger conversation about intimate pictures and rights in this digital age. 34 states and Washington, D.C. now have laws that make it a crime to publicly disclose someone's intimate image without consent. Joining me now to talk about this is Danielle Citron, a law professor at the University of Maryland. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a few years since these high-profile cases involving celebrities. Have companies made progress in terms of how they protect their users? And do they have a responsibility to do that?
They certainly, I think, have a responsibility to protect their users in some sense from themselves. So, for example, the default settings on our photo sharing, if the default is more sharing, that's more data that's in the cloud and that can be hacked.
Often in sort of public debate about this issue, we hear the advice, well, just don't take nude pictures. That, to me, seems almost akin to saying, well, you shouldn't walk down the street in a short skirt.
Yep.
What way do you look at intimate photos and who we share them with?
So we trust our bank with Social Security number and, you know, a lot of financial data. And we do expect the bank to keep it private. The same is true with other contexts in which we give consent for someone to have sensitive information about us because we trust them. It could be for your eyes only, but not for everybody else.
One way to think about technology is that it evolves so quickly, and the law really doesn't do that. It doesn't move at the same speed. So when you think about how we as a society respond to this in the future, does that mean that companies need to adapt more, or does that mean that, say, legislators need to adapt faster?
I think that both. And we've seen state lawmakers act fairly quickly. Like in 18 months, we've seen the law change from 2 states that criminalized invasions of sexual privacy to 34 plus DC. But there are states remaining that don't have laws on the books to address it. And we don't have a federal statute. We have a proposal in Congress spearheaded by Jackie Speier, the congresswoman from California. We have some work to do on the legislative level, too.
Danielle Citron's a law professor at the University of Maryland, and she's the author of the book Hate Crimes in Cyberspace. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.